And so I told him, like, just go, just take a flight and go to that country, it's an African country. Just go and stay with the president in the same room. You will get the money out. And Debola's like, no, they've sent us. I said, Debola, just go. He said, but we don't. I said, I will approve the claims. Just go. He came out with 50% more than they were owing us.
Wow.
So that's a life skill. You know, that's a life skill. And so you see, deep respect. So this is before this result, I had seen that there's something Debola has that I don't have. And that's as important as what I have.
Ah, this is so good. Yeah. So do you also recognize what your business partner is good at that you are not?
Oh, of course. Of course. That's why. Of course. Without a doubt. I've been very good at that. I think I learned that from my father. Once my business partner is good at something, once my staff is good at something, once anybody is good at something, yeah. I'm like, please collect. That's one less thing for me to worry about.
I learned that from How to Win Friends and Influence People.
Ah, right.
So now we are doing some business with this doctor in the UK, and then Eddie will call me and he will say that, Derek, I've done everything. It's left with one thing. And I say, what? The intuitive analysis you have.
Yes.
So get on the phone call and speak to him. And if you feel it, let's do it.
Yes.
And these are the things.
It works.
It works. Fantastic.
Yeah.
And I know that Eddie will make sure compliance is taken care of.
Yes.
And the business continuity is. But me, if you put me there, I can't do it.
Yeah. That's powerful. Anybody who can recognize that.
Yeah.
My number one, I call him my father, Warren Buffett, says that your number one job is to know your circle of competence and to stay in it and deepen yourself in it. So it's a foolish person that has a desire to be everything.
Wow.
So foolish. It's so unnecessary.
But when did you realize this?
From very young. Debola taught me that. Yes. Because again, you are sitting down in front of a person and you're seeing the person work magic. So I've read all the books I'd read. But all the books I'd read didn't make a difference in the room if what was required was a person who knew how to open the door. And so I'd watch Debola like I was watching a magician. I'd watch him, I'd be fascinated. Because all my life I'd grown up thinking intellect, mind, logic first. And people would tell me, no, sometimes it's emotions. It's emotions.
So what is the aspect of us, especially as Africans, that makes it so hard for us to get into partnerships?
Poverty, I think. Hi. I think it's poverty. I think that poverty is a powerful reality distortion machine.
Hi.
Poverty distorts itself. I was with a guy you remind me of in Kenya. How can I forget his name? Podcaster.
Okay.
And I was saying to him, he was asking me that was to Africans, we have a crab mentality. I said, but if you're a crab, you have to have a crab mentality. You know, if poverty has bent people into a crab shape, they believe that they have to behave like crabs. So it's poverty. Poverty has become a self-reinforcing loop where, watching my partnership with Debola, and this is our 20th year of partnership. Watching my partnership with Debola, people will come to me with all kinds of things. They will say all kinds of things to me. Say, oh, he said this in an event. I'm like, ah, they would think about girls, Debola, he likes talking. You know, because, or they would come to me and say, why is he so prominent? And you are back end and you are the CEO. And I've wondered, do you think we didn't discuss this before we left? You know, so the fear is the fear. When I left the business in 2017, I just upped and left as CEO. 2016, people said, no, he will take over the business. And it's the fear that once he takes over, it's the fear that once he has more, I have less.
Huh.
Rather than giving him more enables both of us to have more, you know. It's a valid fear. People have been stolen from, you know, because people think that the only way to move on in life is to steal from somebody else. So all these things, poverty has made us as Africans have a sense of, many of us as Africans, not all, have a sense of scarcity. And that's what we learn it culturally. We learn it from our bosses. We learn it from our parents. We learn it from books, from movies. You're watching a Nollywood movie or a Gollywood movie. The person, you leave, you travel, you come back, they've taken over your business. As a child, you learn that growing up. You learn scarcity culturally. Do you understand? Yes. So that's what happens. That's what has made us afraid of partnership.
Never thought about it the way you have.
It's poverty.
We have seen it all the time.
Yes, we see it in movies, see it in books, see it on television. We see it with our uncles, our aunties, businesses. We see it I remember when my new CEO, I put in a new CEO for the last company that I used to run. And when I told her, okay, we're sending the token to you and the check. And she said, you won't have access to the account. I'm like, how can you be the CEO and I'm the one with access to the account? If I didn't trust you as CEO, I shouldn't have hired you. And even this, I remember, it was when I was talking, I remember I've not had access to any of our company accounts for the past 17 years.
Wow.
Because even the COOs were the ones that had access to the account. I wasn't the one. I would approve the claims form, and then the CFO is the counterbalance for the COO. That's proper structure. I've never known the password to our company accounts. Why? So I've never had a family member work with me to safeguard my interests. So, but these are but I don't begrudge those who act like that, because we live in a culture that teaches us scarcity, and that scarcity comes from prolonged poverty.
And the best way to do this is?
The best way to do is to have, you know, Mandela said something once, I'm moving in the direction of my hopes and not my fears. So you have to build, so two things. First, two things. You have to build the capacity for trust. Trust in the universe, trust in yourself, trust in other people. You have to build that capacity. That's a longer story. It's a chapter that I used to explain that in my book. But secondly, you have to build structure. So I forgot to talk about that. I realized I had to talk about that. So in my mind, I'm like, so for instance, what I described now, when you learn about financial systems, the person who approves the claim should not be the same person that's disbursing the money. So both of them act as a check and balance on themselves. Yeah. Once you've created that system, you can start hands off. It's like if I'm going on a retreat, I have extensive processes for everything in the company. So my PA knows, you know. So if there's processes, and I can go off from the business because everybody knows what to do. So once you have structure takes care of half of the problems.
Yeah.
So once you learn trust, and then you use that trust to build structure, then you have to worry about nothing. It's like I said to people, I have never ever accused a person of theft in my life. Now, they might have been stealing, but it didn't reflect in the management accounts. It didn't. You know, it didn't. It didn't reflect when the auditors looked through the books. It didn't. You know, I've only fired somebody once in any of my companies for theft. And even that, so people are telling me this person has been stealing for a long time. And I said, if he has been stealing, then find evidence. I can't fire him based on you have congregated.
It's a hearsay.
Yes, based on hearsay. So they found evidence. I'm like, so they thought I liked him. I said, I don't like him. It's just there has to be processes. You can't accuse a person of theft. It's such a vile thing. You have to be sure. So once they came and said, oh, they caught him stealing. I saw the proof. He confessed. This was, you know, it was an office assistant. I said, okay, let him go. We have a policy for that. So I learned to trust people very early in my life. I learned to trust people, especially when I build processes that enable trust. And I trust in the processes. Yeah. And once I've done that, and you know, I used to think that I was going to run into trouble because nobody else was, most people are not doing it around me. But here I am, 20 years of business, and it has worked out so far for me.
In that 20 years, what have you learned as your biggest lesson?
As my biggest lesson?
Yes.
People. You know, when I was younger, I used to say, most people that say people are our greatest assets are lying. They are saying that because it's good on TED Talks.
I see.
You know, most people that say that don't trust their staff. They don't underpay their workers. So I've spent a lot of time consulting for people to realize that most people lie about. They lie about things that make them look good. Yeah. But for those who mean it, people can be your most important asset. To take your time to find the right persons and to put a square peg in a square hole is the greatest hack in any business. You know, Jim Collins in The Good to Great, I think, or Great by Choice, I forget which of the two books, said return on luck. Return, so everybody gets luck in business. You have to get high return on luck. And those people, the greatest return on luck you can get is the return on luck with people. If you hire the right person, it makes all the difference. Once I hire a good CEO, I was thinking about one of the companies, the only company this year I resigned from all the boards I was on, all the external boards I was on. I stayed in one. I had that CEO. I found him. And before him, there was a lot of attrition in the organization. A lot of fights in the organization. Battles. People were writing anonymous letters to board members. It was chaotic. And I hired him. And for the 3 years that he has been CEO of that organization, calm.
I see.
Calm. Like, calm. Just calm, growth, stability, 95% retention rates. Everybody that's around him has nothing bad to say about him while he's still enforcing discipline and principles and still achieving his financial goals and surpassing them. I got lucky. And because of him, I don't have to worry about that organization at all.
Connected Minds Podcast.